What's up, ladies? It is your girl, Whitney Kilgore here, welcoming you to another episode of the Woman Intentionally Podcast. I'm fired up yet again, you guys, because today I have an entire episode all about self-esteem. I had an opportunity to interview the self-esteem doctor herself, Dr. Simone Alicia, and in this podcast, she drops some nuggets for you, sis. So with that being said, let's jump right into this podcast and learn how you can start to become more intentional about becoming the woman with high self-esteem that you really want to be. Ladies, it is Whitney here, and I'm so excited. I have the self-esteem doctor herself, Dr. Simone Alicia. How are you today?
I am wonderful. Hello, everybody.
Yes, I'm so excited about you just taking on this podcast and being willing to come and share your expertise with us and give us some insight on how we can become more intentional about our self-esteem and, you know, really finding a way to esteem ourselves. So we'll just jump right in, and you can go ahead and tell everybody a little bit about yourself, where you're from, and what it is that you do on a daily basis.
All right. I am the self-esteem doctor, as Whitney already said, and my name is Dr. Simone Alicia. I'm originally from Jamaica. I work out of Miami, and I'm an international coach and a keynote speaker. So my focus is self-esteem. We want to encourage. We want you to really start to believe in who you are and what you can do. That's my work, and I love it.
All right. So what is, for people who may not be sure, what is self-esteem and what really made you focus in on it and become the self-esteem doctor?
All right. So a lot of people can define self-esteem in many different ways, and they don't all have to be right or wrong, but there's a specific way I like to define it that kind of feels like we cover everything. So I always try to say like this: self-esteem is the way you are thinking and feeling about yourself and your life. So it's about your thoughts and your feelings about yourself. That's the way I like to break it down. And yeah, and I focused on it because my background was teaching in elementary school. Then I started modeling and then teaching modeling school. And in every environment that I was in, I kept seeing this concept of self-esteem, this issue of self-esteem kind of popping up along the way. And I was like, you know what? Someone needs to do something about this. And I was like, hey, I'll do something about this. You know, I'm a teacher. And self-esteem is my thing, and how we think and communication. So I'm like, let's do this. And I popped in my head one day, the self-esteem doctor, and I just ran with it from there. And it's been awesome.
Oh, my goodness. That is so inspirational, because I think it's also great to just see that there's a need for something and then do what it takes to meet that need, right?
Yep.
Instead of just waiting. You see that girls and women are struggling with this, and it's like, okay, I know what they need. Let me figure out a way to put myself in a position to give them what they need. And the self-esteem doctor has come from all of that, and that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So what are some signs of low and high self-esteem? And like, because I want to provide mothers and just girls themselves the ability to notice it in their friends, or, you know, moms to notice it in their daughters. So what are some signs of high and low self-esteem?
So there actually can be opposites, right? You can have someone who is really quiet, kind of keeps to themselves, you know, maybe doesn't make that much eye contact, doesn't like to talk so much, and what you would define as shy. And that could be a sign of low self-esteem. But then there's the opposite, the person who's being like super loud and like, look at me and show it off. And then sometimes that's also kind of covering up a deeper issue of self-esteem. So there's a lot to look out for, but I would say to really tune in on either one of those cases, really try to hear what it is that people are saying about themselves. Like, how do they act if an opportunity comes up? Do they say they can't do it? Do they say that I'm not smart enough, I'm not good enough? How do they talk about their bodies? How do they talk after they get ready to go out and they're like, ugh, I'm just so ugly? Like, and it's not always about looks. It could be an opportunity for a job comes up for a woman, and they hear her say like, ugh, I'm never going to get that job, or like, this is not for women, or somebody like me will never get it. So when you tune into that, those words, that's what will really give you a big indication of if someone really is dealing with some self-esteem issues. And they could lie, but for the most part, you want to tune into those words and see what's going on there. It's just that sometimes I think we have to be careful with how that conversation goes, because what we may look for, or what we may think as individuals is the sign, might not be something that's so evident in that other person. So we can definitely start that conversation and just try not to draw too many conclusions or come to any big judgments, because sometimes as parents, if you're a mom out there, you put more doubts in the kids by asking like, are you okay? Are you sure? Like, you sure you feel good about yourself? Like, are you sure? And then the kids start to get start to doubt themselves based on the questions you're asking. So you just want to be careful with that. Open up a conversation, but don't already have your decision made when you're having that conversation. Really listen to how that teen or girl or woman is expressing herself.
A son, I have a son, not a daughter, but I mean, that makes a lot of sense because I watch myself and kind of gauge, you know, how much I ask. And I had to tell him like, hey, I'm not going to continue to ask you, you know, what's wrong. I have to, you know, be able to trust you that when something's wrong, if I ask you once and you say no, to kind of back off a little bit, you'll tell me if something's really wrong. Like you said, instead of like pressuring and making them feel, you know, is there something really wrong with me?
Right, exactly. And then we put the bad thoughts in their head. And just want to touch on the fact that you have a son. I have a son also. I have a son and a daughter. And the self-esteem issues are there for our boys also. And I really respect that we have a forum to focus on our teen girls and our women. I think that's extremely important. I just want to throw in there real quick, if you are a mom out there listening and you have sons or brothers, and this can be a concern. You know, our boys are kind of taught to be more tough and like shake it off, but they also deal with this issue very much as well. So just want to put that out there.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely. And I've learned too, watching mm-hmm. him grow, I'll hear him say things like, Mom, I got to get this six pack or look at this roll, you know, mm-hmm. stuff like that. Mm-hmm. He turned 11 today, but you know, those kind of things. And I have to kind of affirm him like, Tyree, you look good. And if you don't right. like it, you know, you can do sit-ups, you know, but you don't have to be worried about that kind of stuff. You know, it's really about how you feel. And it's okay exactly. if you don't like it, you know, we can work on it, you know?
I agree with that. One of the things I knew I wanted to also mention today in our talk was the fact that sometimes we want to like fill our kids with self-esteem, and there's a two-part thing with that. Number one, yes, we can fill our girls and our boys and our women and our friends with this sense of self-esteem. We can help to affirm them and build them up, and I think we have a responsibility to do that for those we love. However, the other side of that is we have to continue to acknowledge that self-esteem fundamentally comes from inside. So we definitely want to try to feed, but we have to recognize that me standing on the outside and just telling you how beautiful you are is not necessarily the end of the story. We've got to get you thinking and having self-talk and affirming yourself right. and believing, and let's have you trying and you caring about it and you deciding. And that's when we really start to see the transformation in people, and like I've seen in my clients. It's when you get them to take the wheel on their lives, on their building of self-esteem as an actual part of their life experience, that's when we start to see a difference. So I love it. I think you should definitely affirm him and let him know there are options if you don't like what you see. We're not going to, you know, live in a pretend world. Of course, if there's something you don't like, right. you're not allowed to do that. But we got to start talking about options and making sure that he can find that beauty and attractiveness within himself, whether it's with the abs or with something else.
Because sometimes we can trying, you know, sugarcoat things. For mm-hmm. example, I would just be 100% transparent. I have big lips. My husband has big lips. So my son has big lips. And so from day one, you know what I'm saying, since he's been able to realize that, I've had to prepare him like, Tyree, your daddy got roasted about his lips. I got roasted about my lips. People are probably going to roast you. But you know what? You just have to understand that this is you. And, right. you know, people pay for these lips, you know, and right? it's a part of who you are, you know, and just kind of like keep some Vaseline and some chapstick, man, and you're going to be all right.
I think that's awesome. I mean, I think preparedness is a huge part of it. I think that when you can have a child or a person going into a situation already aware, already prepared, already, you know, in the mindset to love on themselves, in the mindset to appreciate themselves, in the realization of self-acceptance, I think if we can get to them first before some of these other influences, then we've armed our children and our teen girls and our women and with methods and ways to deflect when that stuff comes at them and to laugh it off or to really sincerely not be directly and deeply impacted on a self-esteem level. They'll be able to shake it off a little bit more because it's kind of like, okay, well, I knew that was coming. Like, that's not good. Right. You know, like, that's not interesting. And my mom told me that 20 years ago. Like, what? You know? So I like that. I like that idea. I mean, I don't want us to impart fear and have our kids ready for, like, battle all, you know, their whole lives. Right. But I like that sense of preparedness. I mean, that's huge also.
So what are some habits some people have with high self-esteem that you see?
I think some of the habits that not only have I seen, but I've helped to create is things that we've touched on already, positive self-talk and right. being able to affirm yourself and being willing to celebrate your wins, your successes, and knowing the difference between, well, what is the difference between me saying, like, I'm proud of myself and I love myself and I'm happy with who I am versus trying to show off and be, you know, arrogant or like, you know, in people's faces. There's a line there. And I think people with high self-esteem know that difference. They know they can celebrate themselves and be like, yes, I did it. And like, oh, I look so good right now. And like, oh, go ahead. You know, like, go somewhere. You got this, girl. Like, and hype yourself up and really celebrate. Like, yes, I got an A. I'm so smart. Like, I nailed it. I worked hard. I got it. I did it. Versus being like flashy in the classroom with like the, you know, the paper in your hand, like, hey, look what I did. Or like be the woman walking in like, hello, I know you see me. You know, it's a difference, it's a line. And I think when you know the line, that's one of the habits that you can safely develop. Talk nicely to yourself, celebrate yourself. And something I don't think people realize too is educate yourself on the power of self. So get a self-help book, watch a self-help podcast like this, listen to a self-help podcast like this. You know, watch self-help things on YouTube or videos, and just educate yourself that there is a power within you, because the more you read about it, the more you unlock it and wake it up, and then you get to that place of high self-esteem on a more regular basis, and it's a powerful thing.
Yes, it is. That has made a big difference in my life, just listening. I don't know what happened to make me just get on this. I think I got tired of being in that state of, you know, sad and emotional, nothing I can do. Life is terrible. I don't like the way I look and all that stuff. And I'm just like, you know what? No, I started watching motivational videos and I started fired up. Then I found my first self-help book, which was The 7 Habits of Highly Effective People.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. And I didn't even like reading. I'll be honest. I'm like, I don't like to read. Look, don't come at me with any books. reading. I read that book and it was like he was reading my life. Like, oh, right. And I'm just like, man, I really need to change. It's not just him, it's me.
Yeah. And that's huge. And for those people who don't like reading that much, because there was a time in my life where I was like, I'm good. I don't really do that much. And now it's changed, of course, you know, life has changed. So that, thank goodness for that. But they're audiobooks. So don't hesitate for 1 second to go on the computer and just search up like this particular book in the audio version. And if you listen to 5 minutes a day, or listen when you're in the car, listen before you fall asleep, like one little chapter a day or a couple pages a day will get you far, because it'll be feeding your spirit and you need that.
It is so true. Yeah, I don't even listen to, that's one thing I'm always saying to listeners and on my social media, you know, instead of listening to that song that you heard 50 times, you know, put on a podcast on your way to work, because I know it's your jam, but put on a podcast on your way to work and see how much it changes you. You know, like, I know the words to that song. What more can it do for me? You know, like, hear something different.
Right. And then my question to them would be, if the best version of your life is a song, do you know the words to that? And if not, then you need to start listening into that.
Right. Come on.
That's the new thing. Yes. Let me start preaching today.
Come on, girl. We want it. What are some common causes of low self-esteem in women and girls? You can approach it however you want.
I would say probably in this day and time, I think, number one, it's us not really learning in the beginning that there is a value of self, and not really learning some of these techniques and tools before we kind of get out into the world and start seeing what everybody else is doing. So I think we start with a weak foundation of self in the first place. And then I think the reason that that's so easily shakable is because when we enter into the world and start seeing everybody else, then we're just kind of riddled with comparisons. It's just comparison and comparing, and you're this tall, but I'm that tall, and you have this many likes, don't even get me started on social media. You have this many likes, and I don't have that many likes, and you have perfect skin, and I don't, and the celebrity is like 1 pound, and I'm 100. You know, I think it's just so much comparison that we're trying to see where we stand, and I get it. To a certain degree, it is normal to try to see where you stand in the scheme of things and other humans on the planet. I get that, but I think that we started with a weak foundation, and that comparing of self then leads into the judging of yourself, that just feeds this doubting yourself, and it just feeds over into everything. For our young girls, it feeds over into academics, friendships, and of course interests in boys and love lives and whatnot. And for our women, it impacts also body image as well, like for the teens as well, and also love life, our personal value and professional world and things like that. So it has a huge wide-reaching effect, and I think it starts with just a relatively weak foundation and then comparing each other.
Yeah, I agree 100%. When I go mentor at schools, when I talk to girls, that's the biggest thing that I am focused on is values. Like, that's a big part of it. What is value? You know, what are your values? Because when I joined the Army, they have 7 Army values that they force us to learn and embody. And it changes. It makes you a soldier, right? Yep. And I'm like, well, I never had any personal values as a woman. Yep. That's probably why I had relationship problems, self-esteem problems. I didn't value myself because I really just didn't know or take the time to think about it. Moving on to the next one. Does premarital sex affect self-esteem in women and teens? I wanted your perspective on this.
Okay. All right. Perfect. So there's a couple different ways to answer this. I mean, we can get into things like soul ties, and we can get into things like the emotional, just what sex actually is and the woman's role in that and how it is actually like the penetrating the person deeper than just physical, but like as a being, you know, really being involved in someone's life in such a deep way that it's a very emotional journey that I don't think many people, or especially teens, may be ready for or aware of. And sometimes emotionally, even as a woman, we're not aware. Another way that I would want to look at this is, I think, expectations. I think what happens with, it depends on, are you going into a sexual situation because of an expectation? Is it a transaction? Is it, I am going to give this to you if you give me your love? Is it a bargaining chip? Is it a bargaining tool? What exactly why are you engaging in this behavior? So sometimes I know our younger girls and even our women can be in the space where, okay, I want to keep him. I want to keep my partner. Yeah. So I'm going to give this to them because then they'll stay. And so not only is it a lie to the self, but it's also a complete loss of power, because if the only power you have to keep someone is using your body, then you've missed the boat altogether. Because the biggest power you can bring to a relationship of any kind, whether it's a man-woman relationship, woman-woman relationship, friendships, you know, mother-child, the biggest benefit you can bring to any connection and relationship is you. It's who you are. It's your voice. It's your perspective. It's your ability to help and contribute and help each other to grow and learn and be. And I think that we've completely devalued the true essence of self when we degrade it and say, okay, if I give my body to you, then you got to stay with me like forever. And I think we lose on so, so many levels when that is the expectation going into something like a sexual relationship.
Oh, girl, yes. Yes, I'm over here taking notes and everything. Because this is solidifying what I've been thinking. The soul ties, even if you don't go approach this on a spiritual level, as though social media and entertainment has, you know, devalued sex. Like, there's a reason why, if we wanted to get spiritual, there's a reason why God made it for, you know, man and woman, because he didn't want us out here having STDs and, you know, kids out of wedlock and, you know, all these emotional attachments. I think it's a big part of why there's so much fatherlessness. It just adds and really brings down our community and not even our culture, because it's happening everywhere. We're not putting enough value on sex. So you go into this relationship and you're not considering that you might end up having a whole child that may not know their father, you know? Yep. So I just want to encourage ladies listening to, ladies, teens, you know, think about that decision. It has the ability to impact your life in a very, very large way. Not only yours, but the child that could possibly come out of it and not even get a chance to be in their father's life if they decide to leave because they haven't fully committed to you. And you're worth it. I believe you're worth it.
Absolutely.
If he doesn't want to stay, if he doesn't want to be yours,
bye.
And just know that you are worth waiting, you know?
Yep. And one more thing I want to just jump on the back of that is, in our mental space and our minds, we have a very powerful ability to focus where we want. Sometimes we focus on a more powerless perspective and then we feel powerless, but we have the ability to shift our focus. And what happens is, when the woman in the situation or the teen decides to focus their mind on, well, if I do this, they will stay, will most likely stay. This is an assumption. This is an imagination. This is a dream. These aren't facts. But they're able to go, quote unquote, positive that this person will stay if I do this. But they have just as much power. We all have just as much power to say, and if I don't do this, I'm a good enough person. I'm a good enough woman. I'm important enough girl for him to stay. Because both of them, in fact, I am making up. Both of them, I'm just assuming and hoping that it works out. So why not assume the one that puts me in the position of power and makes this person wait for the me that I really am and not what he thinks he can get from me? Because in the end, my self-esteem is going to shoot through the roof if he stays, yes, or if he goes, because I have myself intact either way.
Right. Girl, I am literally, I am so fired up over here. I am so fired up. I'm trying to be a good podcast host and hold it together. I am over here on 10 because that is so true. Take the position of power, ladies. We have it.
We sure do.
All right. So, what role does body image play in self-esteem, and is confidence a simple fix for people struggling to accept the way they look? I see a lot of pressure to encourage, women, plus size women to just, you should love the way you look. And I'm not saying that you shouldn't, but I think that sometimes so much pressure to just do that, they're not really encouraging people to think about the mental state that some of those women have. You know, do they really like themselves, or is it just, confidence? Is confidence supposed to be an easy fix for someone who's not really happy?
Right. So I noticed that people really try a lot to focus on physical solutions for what is really a mental or a spiritual issue. And I think that what happens with that is we lose the actual momentum. We lose our actual power to make a difference, because if I'm giving you a checklist of things to do, but your issue is not primarily what you're doing, your issue is primarily what you're thinking and how you're feeling, then I'm addressing it the wrong way if I'm giving you a to-do list. So let's take the example that you gave. If someone is a full-figured woman and they're being encouraged, love your body. My question is, how? Accept yourself. My question is, how? We're always throwing these to-do lists, but we're not giving the fundamentals of, well, how do I achieve this if my problem is mental? If I'm in this particular state of my body's in this state because I have a low metabolism, because I've got emotional stuff going on and I'm not metabolizing right, or if I'm really angry and sad and depressed and so I overeat or I binge, then you telling me to love myself or just accept myself is not enough. I need you to get deeper with me and get into my thoughts, get into my feelings. How can you just tell me, look in the mirror and love myself, when the thoughts that are running in my head are telling me something opposite? We need to address what the actual foundations are, the fundamentals of the problem. So yes, I think body image does play a role in self-esteem. I don't think it's everything. I think the general public kind of thinks self-esteem and they think women and they think you think you're ugly. And then that's the whole gamut of self-esteem that people see. But self-esteem is much deeper than that, and it can affect way more than body image, but it does apply. And how simple or difficult the fix is really relative to so many different angles. It's, okay, how long have you been dealing with this particular issue? Is it something that just kind of spikes up because you've been watching social media a lot and have a little bit of a programming running that you should look like these models on social media? Or is it a little bit deeper because you grew up in a family where everybody was maybe slightly overweight and this was like a fundamental issue for you growing up, and you feel like you have a big battle or war ahead of you? You know, what is actually going on there, and how can we address it? How can we teach you to think differently while looking at the same body? How can we teach you to pull out the elements that make you feel proud and beautiful and excited? How can we teach you to limit yourself on the amount of things that you feed on that tell you that you're not good enough? You know, there's some strategies that we can do to address what the real essence is. And someone who's really hungry, oh, they can say this is a simple fix, and they can just jump in, follow some steps, and they're there. And someone who's struggling a little more might take a little longer. It's not a one-size-fits-all, cookie-cutter approach. I think it's something we need to go one by one. And yes, at the end of the day, I do believe we can all get to the point where we truly love and accept the way we look, for sure.
Yes. So many good nuggets in there. I hope you guys are listening and taking notes. It's not just about saying it and covering up. Go figure out, once you assess yourself and recognize where the root of the problem is, start researching things to help you fix it. If it's anger, if it's unforgiveness, if it's, problems that occurred in your past, start looking at sermons, looking at videos, listening to people speak, reading books about things to help deal with the issue that is at hand. So I just wanted you to give a little bit of insight about how important your thoughts and self-talk is when it comes to self-esteem and how people can be more mindful of the two.
I would actually dare to say that thoughts and self-talk are the two most important elements when it comes to developing self, when it comes to what you can personally do. It's because the thoughts are like the programs that you're running in your head. I like to tell, when I meet with kids or teens, I like to tell them, listen, your brain is like a cell phone, and we can download apps, and you can get viruses, and you can get apps that are not working, and you need to, you know, they're not serving you, so we need to uninstall. So when we run these positive thoughts and this positive self-talk through our own personal mental programming, it's really powerful because it starts to affect the way we think and feel about ourselves, which is self-esteem. It affects our belief system, which is absolutely going to drive our actions, because if this is what I believe, then this is how I act based on my belief. So yeah, thoughts and self-talk, I think, are paramount. I think that's going to be the number one thing that we help everyone to start to tune into and care about. And as far as how do we get you to be more mindful, I think number one, it's a decision. When I'm coaching and I go meet with people and I'm like, listen, the first step is a decision. What do you want? Because I can't want this for you. I can't feed it. What does it say? You're going to lead a horse to water, but you can't make them drink. I'm like, right. I can lead you to the water. I can even put the water in your mouth. I can dunk your head in. But I can't actually make you ingest this water in a healthy and stable way, but to take it in for yourself. That is going to be on you. So I think it starts with a decision. A decision that, you know what, I do want to feel better. And like you made this decision in your explanation earlier. I want to feel better. I'm tired of being sad or negative or in this rut. I'm tired of feeling stuck. I want to feel good, and I have access to it because it don't cost me any money to access my thoughts. It doesn't cost me any money to have more positive self-talk. This is something that I have inside of me, God has given me, and I can utilize this faculty to really be tuned in to the me that I want to be and the parts of me that I want to just love on and bring to the world for the benefit of myself, my family, and everybody else.
Yeah. And you'll be surprised when you really start to think about your thoughts. You'll be so surprised at how many little negative thoughts try to creep up.
Oh, yes. I tell people this. I say, look, as a matter of fact, I had a mini retreat. I do some mini retreats on the weekends, and I had one yesterday. And I said to this young girl, I go, listen, thoughts, I like to think of them like seeds, right? Like when you're planting. So they're seeds. And I want you to think, like, millions of seeds are being thrown at you all day. Negative ones, positive ones. Oh, my gosh, where did that thought come from? Like, what am I going through? Why did I think that? Like, what's wrong with me? You know, all these thoughts are coming at you. And I said, but you are the gardener of those thoughts. I said, you get to pick the seeds that you want to plant. You get to pick the seeds that you want to water. You get to pick the seeds you want to nurture and cultivate and grow. And when you grow, then your mind becomes this garden of all the seeds you planted. Not all the seeds that were thrown at you, but all the seeds that you planted. And that, again, is our personal power that we don't exercise. Just because this thought came to me and you told me I'm fat, then I grabbed the seed, I bury it, I'm watering it, and I'm blaming you. But I'm the one that grabbed it. I'm the one that watered it. I'm the one that tended it. I'm the one that let this grow into my garden in my mind, and I don't need to do that. I have the power to reject your seed and pick the ones that I want to plant within me. And that, again, is more self-talk. I get to create the seeds I want to plant, and focusing on my thoughts. It's a powerful thing if you really let yourself go with it.
Oh, my God. It is so powerful. And I've never thought about that analogy. I mean, gardener, like, yes, I can pick what I want and let myself out. You don't think about it, man. But that makes so much sense. I hope, ladies, I hope you pick that up and you start gardening today.
For real.
She made it as plain as she can get it. So.
And at the
gardener, then we got a little more work to do.
And at the end, you're gonna get what you're gonna reap what you sow. At the end of the day, you're gonna get whatever you plant in that garden. You're gonna be able to reap from that. You're gonna be able to pull from that and live your life according to all of those beautiful things that you planted. So start caring about what you're planting.
Yes, bro. I saw that you did a post about pretending versus deciding, and it was like, I watched the whole thing. I driving and watching. Do not judge me, but. So I was listening, and I just wanted you to share that with some people who may not follow you. Speak to pretending versus deciding and how this can be useful for someone going into something that makes them feel anxious. That's women going in for a new job or, you know, relationships, just friendships, whatever. It's pretending versus deciding.
So thank you so much again for following me and bringing this one up. I love this concept, because I think so many times when we talk about, you know, be positive, think positive, I think most people who reject that idea is because it seems so fake. It just seems like, so wait, I'm having the worst day ever. You want me to just walk around cheesing like, hey, yeah, it's great. Like, that's no, I don't want to do that. That's a lot. You know, I'm not doing that. So I think it's really essential to say there's a difference. So for me, pretending is where I'm deeply uncomfortable and I don't know how to not be uncomfortable. So I just say I am comfortable anyway, even though I'm not. And I try to like do those things, like slap a smile on my face and like try to walk in and try to, okay, let's just get through this. My self-talk usually in pretending is not actually trying to soothe me. It's more of a fight or flight, like get through this, just get through this. That's not going to actually help me, because if I'm feeling like I have to get through something, that sense of anxiety is going to rise. I'm going to feel more intense. I'm going to feel less capable and more uncomfortable. So for me, deciding is when I actually am looking for a solution within me. I have this job interview coming and I'm looking for real evidence in me that can motivate me. And so I go to, all right, I've interviewed before and I've done a pretty good job. I remember I've researched this company, so I think I'm ready to answer questions. I'm a smart person. I've gotten through stuff before harder than this, and I know I can figure this out. I'm a people person. I know what to say. I can figure it out. You know, I'm going to be honest. If I don't know what they're asking me, I'm just going to smile and say, I'm not sure what you mean, and I'm human, so that's perfectly normal. They're going to want a human working here. If you don't actually reach for real facts that can really talk you down off of that place of feeling anxious and remind you of real things. And I think that the problem is that we don't know how to do that. We just like hype yourself up and just go. No, soothe yourself. Soothe yourself. Be your own best friend. Someone who knows you forever, that's trying to get you to feel good going to this interview, what are they going to say to you? They're not just going to be like, all right, go, you got it, bye. Like, you know, they're going to try to give you some more. Like, oh, I've seen you talk to strangers before and you are so charismatic. You got this. Like, what would a best friend who really knows you say to give you evidence that you should feel good? Don't be afraid to do that for yourself, because the faking part, that doesn't work for you. Like, let me give you one of my crazy examples, because I do the crazy examples all the time. So let's say you're going to eat something. You want a slice of cheese on whatever you're eating. And so you decide, I want cheese. So what do? You start looking for cheese. You look in the fridge for cheese. Maybe you have a neighbor. You call them. Can I have some cheese? Now you don't find the cheese. You start looking for, okay, what else is an alternative? Maybe I just need a little salt because cheese is kind of salty. Maybe I'll just use that instead. You're trying to find solutions to get yourself what you actually want. In that case, pretending would be you go get a piece of paper out of your printer, color it yellow, and say it's cheese. It's not cheese. You can't even eat that. What are you doing? Right? So I want you to not pretend, because it doesn't satisfy anything. I want you to try, and even if you have to find alternatives, really try to get what you want. And if you want to feel good, reach for actual, real thoughts that feel good.
Yeah, because we have them. We have them. You may have to dig deep, sis, but they're in there. So we just have to dig deep and pull them out.
Yep. Yeah. And it takes work. It takes some work, but you can do that. You can do it.
Yeah. So as we get ready to close out this podcast, and we have some women who may be in that position of, you know, at the point in their life where they have low self-esteem, what are a couple of pieces of advice that you would give someone that's trying to be more intentional about improving their self-esteem?
First thing I would say is, don't judge yourself on this journey, because that's just another setback along the way. If you're going to be working on self-esteem, allow yourself room, okay? You learn to ride a bike, you fall off, you don't just throw the bike in the corner. You get back on, you try it again, and you are aware you may fall off. You're aware there's a learning curve. I want you to carry that same awareness as you start this journey. Your mind has connections, and then many of our connections, when we don't practice, are negative. It's easy to jump to a negative thought. It's easy to doubt yourself. It's easy to judge yourself. It's easy to worry that you're not enough. Those are the connections that have been made throughout our lifetime in our minds from what we've seen, heard, and experienced. We now are trying to make new connections in our mind, hopeful connections, connections that say I can, connections that say I'm willing, connections that say I'm going to give it all I've got, connections that say I'm worthy, I am enough, right? And so as we're trying to build those connections, recognize that the old connections are still there and they're falling apart very slowly. So every now and then we might slip back into old habits, but the goal is to stay the course of building these new connections in your mind. And I want you to do that by working on self-talk, be your best friend. Actually say positive things that you believe to yourself. Yeah. Affirm yourself. Encourage yourself. And beyond just words and talk and thoughts, I want you to let pictures, because your mind thinks in pictures, conjure up pictures in your mind of yourself feeling successful, being successful, looking successful, laughing successfully. I want you to really start to make this become a full body, visceral experience where you are seeing, you are thinking, you are feeling, you are embodying the essence of all you've been called to be here on this planet. And you are way more than you probably ever realized, and you have way more power than you've ever exercised. And I think now is the time for you to start putting this into place and start letting yourself be the best possibly you, the best, most fulfilled expression of yourself that you can be. Because it's time, and you deserve it.
Ladies, come on now. Like, if you are not intentional after this podcast, your self-esteem is not improved, or you're not fired up about, you know, improving your self-esteem, girl, you need to hit me up so we can talk. Yeah. Or go follow the self-esteem doctor, because Dr. Alicia, you are just killing it right now. And I'm so, it's just so good to hear, you know, like, this is what you get a chance to do on a daily basis, man.
Yes. I love it. Thank you so much. I mean, I hope you ladies and girls out there are tuning in to intentionally esteem yourself, because this is, like, Women Intentionally is, like, they're doing it. And I want to say, Whitney, thank you, because as far and wide as we can spread the word to our moms and our team, this is, and our women, I mean, this is going to be really essential, and we're planting seeds all over the planet for everyone to tune in, and I think it's really important. Really, really important. So I'm so happy you had me on today, and everyone for listening. Thank you.
You can give them information where they can find you at, so they can come and follow you and all that good stuff.
For sure. So I'm on Instagram at The Self-Esteem Doctor. So you spell it all out. The Self-Esteem Doctor. You'll find me there. And if you want to check out things on my website, resources, events, anything like that, I'm at theselfesteemdoctor.com, all spelled out.
All right. Well, thank you again, Dr. Simone Alicia, the Self-Esteem Doctor, for joining us on the Woman Intentionally podcast. It has truly been a blessing, and I'm so inspired by what you do, and I pray that you have a great day, and thanks for blessing us with your presence.
Thank you so much, Whitney. I appreciate you. Bye.
All right, bye-bye.
All right, ladies, thank you so much for tuning in to another episode of the Woman Intentionally podcast. Head on over to Instagram and follow Dr. Simone Alicia at The Self-Esteem Doctor. Then after that, you can head over to my website, www.purposefullyguided.co, and check out the Intentional Woman blog that I have there that we update weekly. Also, the services that I offer for teen girls and women looking to become more intentional through coaching. Dr. Simone Alicia has awesome things on her website as well, and you will find that in the link below. Make sure that you go ahead, comment, like, and tell us what you think about this podcast and any other things that you would like for us to discuss or talk about to help improve the culture of womanhood. Let's go.